Located in Soda Springs, Idaho, there is a hotel that is well known for having paranormal activity. The hotel is also the largest museum in Soda Springs, housing hundreds of early American frontier antiques. Who is haunting the place? Could it be the cowboy who was shot and killed in the former saloon? Could it be someone attached to the antiques in the museum? Stay tuned. Mystery Media Group presents Case File 51.
Are listening to Mystery Media Group.
Yay!
Hi, I'm Melissa.
And I'm Mike, and we are Destination Mystery.
Destination Mystery paints the story for paranormal content, abnormal adventures, and the fun behind the investigations.
We believe the paranormal is all around us. Each week, we'll take you to a new destination where we will try and solve the mystery. This is not the same old ghost story you've heard before. We will not only tell the spooky story, we'll go to the remote location to investigate for ourselves.
Fasten your seatbelts and put on your helmet as we take you on a new adventure that will leave you questioning what you've always thought about the paranormal.
We wanted to record the Ender's Hotel episode. I have a little bit of history on the place that I'll read real quick. One of the oldest hotels in Idaho, Ender's Hotel and Museum on Main, is located in Soda Springs, Idaho. Built in 1917, Ender's resembles today's malls. It housed several businesses, including a drugstore and cafe, and is regarded as one of the Gem State's spookiest haunts. It wasn't until the 1930s that the building underwent remodeling and became a hotel. The placement of the building in front of the town's famous geyser made it one of the most popular places in Soda Springs. It was an impressive $75,000 to construct and was not only the place to stay, but also a place for social gatherings such as parties, balls, receptions, and weddings. Numerous guests have experienced some weird occurrences during their stay. The second floor of the hotel houses a museum. It is a fascinating display of antiques from the early 1900s American frontier era. The second floor is where numerous guests and visitors have reported feeling a strange presence. Some people have even witnessed some of the artifacts in the museum moving by themselves. They've also heard voices and have seen physical manifestations. Many believe the spirits to be former employees, owners, or guests who love the hotel so much they decided to linger. Another spirit who seems to roam the place is that of an old cowboy who was shot in the former saloon on the first floor of the building. Another legend says a man fell down the stairs and died. As a hot spot for Soda Springs, Idaho, the building has seen its share of guests come and go over the years. As many guests would say, the building has a unique energy to it. Many believe one of the spirits to be a former maid who worked at the hotel for years and became attached to the beautiful building. Soda Springs was known as the Oregon Trail Oasis when pioneers headed west for California and Oregon. Travelers enjoyed bathing in the natural spring waters that bubbled out of the earth. It was also known as a shortcut on the Oregon-California Trail of the main route to Fort Hall, Idaho. The town became a landmark along the trail. These natural bubbling pools of carbonated water caused by ancient volcanic activity housed an incredible natural spring that many visitors labeled medicinal. Immigrants frequently took advantage of the hot water to wash clothes and bathe. In 1937, a well was being drilled in search of hot water for a bathhouse that unleashed what is now known as the town's geyser. It's the only captive geyser in the world. It is a man-made geyser that was created in 1937 when engineers were attempting to find a hot water source for their swimming pool and bathhouse. The extreme pressure caused by carbon dioxide gas mixing with water in the underground chamber caused water to shoot 100 feet into the sky. It is now capped and controlled by a timer that erupts every hour on the hour, which we've seen that erupt several times when we were down there.
Yeah.
I found an old brochure to the town that, like, it takes you on a historical tour through the town and it has several different stops. And number 11 on the stop is the Ender's Hotel. And I'm just going to read what it says about that hotel. The Ender's was designed by architect Herman Frankberg of Soda Springs and built by C.K. Blocker at the cost of $75,000, a substantial sum of money in 1917. The Ender's building became the showcase of Soda Springs. This three-story neoclassical building reflects the superb craftsmanship of its builders. With a marble base and white brick and granite, it is an impressive structure. The Ender's even has a reputation for being haunted. Both staff and guests have experienced footsteps, voices, and rocking chairs that rock with no one in them. The Rex Mons deeded the Ender's Hotel to the city of Soda Springs in 2019.
It is a very impressive building. It is gorgeous.
It is. And it does have a neat energy about it. You walk in there and it's just, you feel like you step back in time. It's just so cool.
It is. And we happened to show up on the grand reopening night. New owners had taken over the lease and redone the place. Do you kind of want to talk about that, Michelle?
Sure. We visited this place over the years, and when we first went there, it was more of a bar on the first floor. It's always had the museum on the second floor, but this time around, the owner, she has done a fabulous job restoring it. You walk into the main lobby, and you feel like you're in a 1950s hotel with the antiques that she's brought down, the old check-in desk with the key boxes behind it. It's really cool looking.
Brass key fobs.
Yep, the big brass key fobs for each room. It's so beautiful how she's redone it. All the wood in it, the gift shop she uses, antique display cases. There's just antiques throughout the whole place to where it's almost magical. I really love the place now. It's more of a coffee shop instead of a bar. And she has a reception center and stuff for weddings and whatnot in the back. And it's just a really neat place to go to. It's a place where time has stood still.
It is. It's almost like walking into a 1950s Hollywood. I don't know. You've got the really nice tiled floors and the, is it brass, like tiled ceilings and
the stamped ceilings.
Yeah. It's just really nice, like chandeliers. And it's just, it's not one of the normal hotels that we stay in when we're going to go investigate.
It's not the Best Western.
No.
It's not a rundown one either.
Yeah. We like to stay in some pretty shady places, but this one's like high class.
And speaking of Hollywood.
Yeah.
Do you remember that wolf coat that was hanging up in there? There was a coat that they used in the movie Gone with the Wind.
Oh, yes. Uh-huh.
It was made out of wolf, which I'm, you know, not a big fan of killing wolves for coats, but
right. They
preserved that. Still had the original bone buttons. And it was pretty cool to see that. They use stuff like that in the rooms and as part of the rooms themselves as the decoration is also the museum. So
yeah,
I thought that was pretty cool.
I thought it was cool how all the rooms had antiques in them as well.
Yeah.
The beds were the big, what do you call those? Four poster. Mm-hmm. Beds. And
there's some, I think yours was a big brass bed, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yours brass?
Uh-huh. I believe so. Yeah.
Members of the community donated their family's old furniture, antique pioneer furniture to the museum to preserve it. And so a lot of families have their heritage in there for people to enjoy it.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool.
The little sign on the front, I took a picture of it. It just says that it was established in 1917 and restored in 2001 by the Rex Mon and the Soda Springs High School class of 1954 Idaho Historical Registry. So that's what's on the sign outside of the building.
The plaque?
Mm-hmm. It was fun too, like when we went, because it was a grand reopening. They were doing tours and such, and They also did a night of bingo. We got to play bingo, which, gosh, I haven't done that since I was a kid, I don't think.
I've never played bingo before. That was fun.
It was a lot of fun. And
I didn't win anything, but.
Yeah, you did, didn't you? Didn't you get a.
No. Yeah.
All my kids did. I didn't win. I took their prize from them, but I didn't win.
Yeah, Chris won. He got a nice jacket that was pretty cool. So that was fun. And then, I mean, they don't really have a restaurant there anymore, but there's one right next door. The food was delicious. I thought it was great.
Oh, it was really good.
Service was great.
Mm-hmm. You'd think in a little town like that, too, that there's not a whole lot to do, but there actually is. We've got those little caves and stuff that we've explored. The geyser. What's the name of that company that the steel?
There's a mining company. I don't remember the name of it.
But they dump like the
slag.
That's what I'm looking for. On the side of the mountain, and it almost looks like a volcano has erupted. And
yeah.
So there's springs. And
There's also, you can still see the Oregon Trail ruts on the side of the road.
Isn't there a little Oregon Trail museum there too?
Somewhere along there is, yeah.
I don't think we've ever been there, but I'm pretty sure there is one.
And up by the geyser, there's that lookout from
World War II.
Oh, yeah.
One or two.
Talk about lookout. That. I forgot about that. Where they would station themselves to watch for planes, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't imagine planes getting here from anywhere, but they built the lookout. It's right by the geyser. It's a little room where they took turns watching for airplanes flying over.
Yeah, during World War II. I forgot about that. And then right across the street, too, is a historic theater and the old bottling company. What was it called again?
Idahome.
Yeah. So they used to have a bottling company there where they bottle the water from.
Did you actually taste some of that water?
I tasted some of it from lava. It wasn't very good.
No, it's not good.
But it's supposed to be good for you.
It's naturally carbonated water, but it's from Hooper's.
I did taste the stuff from Hooper's, yes.
I've always wanted to take like a package of Kool-Aid and put in there to see if it makes it any better. It's not very good.
Yeah, it's kind of bitter.
Kind of like drinking the swimming pool water.
I don't know if it
would not be. That I've tasted that, but I just.
Yeah, you can actually drink right from Hooper Springs if you dare. I did it. My kids did it.
Comes right out of the ground, so it's pretty clean. That's what they bottled, was that water right out of Hooper Springs.
They have some of the old bottles in the museum, too, and they're really cool green bottles. I don't know. They're just the older kind of bottles that are thick, and I've always had a thing for cool bottles, so I like them.
Soda pop's come a long way since then, though.
Yeah, they're kind of cheap plastic things now, unfortunately.
They taste better.
That's true. So we stayed the night there, and it was really cool because we got the entire third floor to ourselves, and we were able to investigate that whole third floor, which we did. And we got a little bit of activity, not scary or menacing in any way. It was just like Michelle said, you're stepping back in time, and it's almost like an excitement. People are there to
socialize and just be like, hey, how are you? How are you doing here? And
And I do remember there was one room at the end of the hallway that we were staying in. All the doors were locked except the three rooms that we had rented for the night. Later on that night, we went back down that hallway and that door was open.
It was the room next to ours.
So we were like, well, wonder if, you know, the owner came up and opened it and grabbed something. We don't know that for sure, but it was open and there was a book on the floor. And Sierra and Lauren had mentioned that they'd heard some like rustling and stuff around in that room when they were trying to take a nap. So that was a little interesting that door was kind of open and it was locked before. I don't know.
The book looked like it had fallen off of the nightstand.
When we were investigating, we started out in there's a room just off the stairway that's like a parlor type room with a player piano and stuff. And we were investigating in that room to start off with, and we kept hearing noises down the hall. And we asked, did you want us to go down the hall and we heard more noises down there. So eventually we made our way down to that room and did an investigation there too. The majority of the activity that we got was on the REM pod. We got a lot of REM pod activity. And for the first time ever, we got a ton of ovulus activity.
Yeah, when I was pacing the hallway in front of that sitting room with the ovulus in my hand, we'd get answers. It was really weird.
And it was kind of weird because we don't get a ton of ovulus activity. We'll get a word here and there. But this thing hadn't gone off. We had actually used it the night before and it hadn't gone off, I don't think at all, did it?
Yeah, in lava, uh-uh.
And then, I mean, we had been investigating for probably a good hour and nothing. And then all of a sudden, we walked to the other end of the hallway with it. And we had this spirit box going for a while. And we kept hearing, it was like the spirit box would stop on this one station that was playing classical music. Do you remember that?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it flips through like it really fast. But then it would stop on this station for a few seconds and you'd hear a little piece of classical music play and then it would keep going. And I thought that was really strange because it's not supposed to just stop on one station.
Well, that's interesting because of the player piano right there.
Yeah, true.
Which would have played the same kind of music. Maybe they like that kind of music because of they were used to hearing that player piano.
I actually asked the question, do you like to play the piano? We did get a response. I'll share that with you. Do you like to play the piano? So you hear the spirit box flipping through channels. But right at the beginning of this clip, you kind of hear what sounds like a, I don't know, to me it almost sounds like a clarinet or an oboe. And then somebody says, well, that was weird. And then I asked, do you like to play the piano? And then you hear what sounds like a piano after that. And at the very end, you hear a voice. Were you able to hear that? Oh, yeah.
A little bit.
Yeah. Okay, I'll play it again. Do you like to play the piano? So you can hear a voice at the end. It's three syllables. I don't know what it says.
Yeah.
Sounds
but the music tones seem to repeat themselves.
Yeah.
What you hear at the end sounds the same as the stuff that was played in the beginning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you do hear what, to me, it sounds like a clarinet or an oboe. And then, then you hear the piano, and then you hear the REM pod go off.
Yeah, but you can hear how fast it's flipping through the channels, and there's no way, because those tones are so consistent that, you know, it's the same song. There's no way that they were on multiple stations.
And that's what I found so weird, was it shouldn't stop on a station.
Yeah. Yeah, that is interesting.
But when we were walking down the hall, the first word that came across the ovulus was classic, which was interesting because we kept getting was stopping on that classical music station every time it would flip through. And the other weird thing on the ovulus was we asked, where are you from? Got the word Idaho on it.
Yeah, and I don't think we've ever gotten Idaho on there.
And we got a million other words. I literally have 5 pages of words. It was so strange. It was just like spitting out words right and left.
It was. When I was pacing the hallway with it, though, when I went to the end of towards the other end of the hallway from our rooms, it didn't feel good. So I stopped going down on that end.
Yeah.
And I'd stay like from the sitting room towards our hotel rooms that we were staying in. And
yeah,
that was just really interesting.
Definitely a different feel down that hallway than the one we were staying in, for sure.
Yeah. But when I was with the obelisk, like I would pause in front of some of the pictures and I would get words that would, you know, I'd be like, okay, what is this correlating to? And they would actually correlate to some of the pictures I was stopping in front of.
Yeah, we got, I mean, some of the words we got were school, bridal, linger. I mean, there's, I've got tons. I've got four people here full of words. Just so strange because we've never had it do that before. Mountain, lots of different numbers came up. Like, yeah, it was crazy. House, born.
Did the numbers correlate with something that was going on?
I think some of them did, yes. And I was trying to find my, oh, we got the word, was it raster? R-A-S-T-E-R.
Yes, because we were trying to figure out what it meant.
Yeah, and Sierra looked it up, and it was basically laser grid. And we did have the laser grid on, right?
Mm-hmm.
Am I remember that correctly?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was really strange. Tons of words, which was cool. I do have a couple of more audio clips I want to play.
Are these when we were still in the sitting room?
Yes, I believe so.
Did you attend dances here?
So you'll hear, I asked the question, did you attend dances here? You hear a response, and then the ovulus goes off, and then you hear another response.
That other response was murder.
Is that what it was?
What it sounded like to me.
I'm going to play it again.
Murder.
Did you attend dances here?
You hear murder?
Murder. I hear I did.
The first one sounded like I did, I think.
It sounds like a girl's voice, too.
Yeah. Both of them sound like a girl. I don't know if it's the same voice or not, but I'm going to play it one more time.
Did you attend dances here?
Murder. That's what I hear.
Murder. Did we get murder on our ovulus?
I don't remember getting anything like that.
I don't think we did. We got party and birthday. You know, it was a social gathering place, so definitely could have been stuff like that that happened there. Here's the next one that I got. Do you like to stay here? It's pretty quick, but I ask, do you like to stay here? And I do hear the word stay. Do you like to stay here?
Yeah.
Is that what you hear?
Yeah, definitely. But that one sounds like an older voice than the one that responded to the dance.
Yeah, for sure.
We got a lot of REM pod activity.
Yeah, we got a lot there
too, because we had it down the hallway at the corner where it turned and went down to that locked room that opened.
Yeah,
it was going off a lot too.
We had a lot of REM pod activity, and nobody was even close to the REM pod, and there was no breeze or anything. Like, we checked vents and everything just to make sure that nothing was near it that could make it go off. So that was interesting.
Yeah, because I just keep on hearing it go off on your recording. Yeah,
it went off a lot. Here is the next one. Do you want us to go down the hallway? Are you trying to tell us to go down there? So it's a quick little word. I'm going to play just that last word because I'm asking, do you want us to go down the hallway? Because we kept hearing noises down there. And this is the response. I hear go. I'm going to play it again, the whole thing. Do you want us to go down the hallway? Are you trying to tell us to go down there? What do you think?
Yeah, that's what I hear.
It sounds like a young woman again, too. Mm. Here's the next one. This one's hard to make out. I don't know why it recorded so weird, but I asked, how old were you?
How old were you?
Actually, Michelle's asking. Play it again.
How old were you?
And in this clip, you can hear the classical music station that it stops on.
Yeah, you can hear the music.
Yeah, and this is what it kept. It kept stopping on this same station.
How old were you?
It's a two-syllable word, but I can't make out what it says. We did get, what numbers did we get? We got 33, 21, and
19.
It almost sounds like 21.
21
again.
How old are you?
Yeah, I can hear that. Here's the next one. And we asked this question because we got the name Charlotte on the ovulus. Is your name Charlotte? Here's the REM pod. And then you hear a little voice at the end.
Didn't we get the name Charlotte a couple of times?
I believe so. I have it written down here, but it seems like we did. Because we got a couple of different names, but Charlotte was the one that came across more than once. And I think that's why we asked that question.
Play it again.
Okay. Is your name Charlotte? Does it sound like a yes to you?
Yeah.
That's what I hear, but I don't know. You know, as soon as we asked that, the REM pod went off, which tells me that, yeah, that's her name. And then here's the last one that we got. It's hard to hear this one too, but the question is asked, what decade, what time period? And you hear a response here at the end. I don't know what it says, but I'm going to amplify it just a tad. Sounds like three words, but I don't know what it says. I'm trying to look here and see if we got anything correlating to a decade or a time period. I mean, a lot of these could possibly be that, but I don't know. It's the only audio that I was able to pull off.
I remember when we did finally go to the room, though, we did a lot with the flashlight.
Yes.
A lot of response with the flashlight.
We did. You want to talk about that just a little, where we placed it and some of the questions we asked?
That room, it was locked because it wasn't put together yet. She had the furniture in there, but there was no sheets, no bedding, nothing was set up in the room yet. And it was a big old brass bed, and there was an old-fashioned chaise lounge at the foot of the bed that several of us sat on. There was an old secretary. And we put the flashlight on the floor next to the bed because that's where the book had fallen. Picked up the book and put it back on the nightstand, but we put the flashlight beside the bed. And I think we put the grid towards the bathroom.
Yeah, we did. I didn't get anything on the grid during that investigation, but
yeah. The flashlight. I think we left the REM pod out in the hallway still.
Uh-huh. Yep, the REM pod was outside the door.
And then the girls, and I believe you were sitting on the floor, and we had mm-hmm. the EMF on the floor with them. So the flashlight was kind of behind us because we were sitting on the stage lounge and on the floor, but it would respond to our questions. It would turn on, it would brighten, it would dim, it would turn off. We had to reset it once or twice, but for the most part, it turned on and off by itself.
It did. And I think it's a really good little tool to use because it's so easy, I think, you basically just have to kind of barely touch it and it'll go on if you have it set right. And so I feel like it is just an easy tool for, I guess, if you're a spirit, you're trying to communicate. I don't know. I haven't been in that situation yet, so I'll let you know when I get there. But it's just a tool that anybody can use. I mean, it's just a cheap little flashlight. And, you know, and you could argue that, yeah, well, it can go on and off by itself just by how you've got it turned. But when it's directly answering your questions and doing what you ask it to, that's a whole different story. So it's kind of cool. But
I don't remember direct questions that we asked in that room, but it seems like we addressed most of our questions to Charlotte.
Yes.
It seemed like her husband had to deal with the mines
mm-hmm.
and they were staying at a hotel.
I do remember reading one of the articles that was down in the museum where there were a lot of miners that stayed in that hotel in the 40s and 50s, I think it was, just because they would travel from out of town, work during the summer months, I believe, and then they would go back home in the winter because it was kind of a hard place to work in the winter, which it is. When we were there, how cold did it get? Was it like 12 below that morning?
Oh, yeah, it was. That was during the really cold stretch because I wouldn't even go to the hot springs in lava. It was too cold. I was like, I'd be an ice cube by the time we got out.
It was so cold.
It was definitely in the negatives.
I think it was like 12 below that morning when we woke up, and when we went out to our car, our doors were frozen shut, but we stayed warm in the hotel. It was nice.
It was a fun place to be. It was.
It was fun. Yeah, we had a nice little breakfast. I would recommend staying there, even if you're not down for the paranormal stuff. It's just a nice place to go. My husband, Chris, came with us, and he doesn't like that. And he really enjoyed his stay. He wants to go back.
I felt perfectly comfortable there.
I did, too.
Relaxed. I didn't feel anything weird or
either.
Uh-uh. I thoroughly enjoyed it.
It was so fun having the whole place to ourselves, though.
Uh-huh. It was. I hope they make it work and the new business owner is able to make a go of it because she's put a lot of work into it and really done a fantastic job. So
definitely. I mean, anyone who wants just like, to me, it's like a fun little romantic getaway for any couple.
Exactly. Cute little bed and breakfast type place. Yeah.
Yes. And it just has such a fun feel to it. And it's different than any other hotel that you'll get around here.
It is.
It's not commercialized at all with all the antiques and everything. It's just, it has such a neat feel to it that I feel like this is a romantic getaway.
I agree. And they do weddings and stuff there. So if you are looking for a venue for that, it's gorgeous. It's a perfect place to go.
Thoroughly enjoyed the place.
I did.
Neat antiques. Well done. Well done.
Yeah.
The whole thing.
Definitely go back.
Oh, absolutely.
So up to plan it again.
Highly recommended.
Agreed. If you enjoy our show, please like, subscribe, and leave a 5-star review. For more information, visit www.destination-mystery.com. Find your own destination
and solve the mystery.